This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
It's Friday on My Mind by the Easy Beats. Little one-ish, hit-ish wonder from the late 1960s. Wishing everybody a good weekend.
Why do you have an Expos cap?
Because we went to Montreal, not last summer. Maybe it was the summer before for vacation. And that was the one souvenir I wanted to get.
They were still selling Expos.
But, you know, I came of baseball viewing age in the early 80s, uh-huh. And, man, those Expos teams were fun. Gary Carter, Andre Dawson, Tim Raines was one of my favorite players. Tim Wallach, QB Brooks, Steve Rogers. I remember the Expos.
So the news today over at the Daily Memphian was there's going to be a new Live Nation and Crosstown Concourse are building a new music venue at basically across the street from Crosstown. What do you make of that news? And is it going to change the concert scene, the music scene in Memphis? What will be the impact?
I think it's welcome news. I think people bemoaning the live music scene, the touring live music scene in Memphis, and for good reason, I think have often misapplied the reasons. I think people want it to be a venue problem, and I think it's not been primarily a venue problem. I think it's primarily been a demographics problem and an interest problem. So we'll see if that changes it. I mean, you know, a few years ago, somebody bought and completely refurbished and made the new Dacey Theater and Bill super nice, and there was going to be, like, concerts there, and then there never were. You know, and when I was in high school, that's where the concerts of sort of this ilk, maybe a little bit smaller, right. But, like, touring, you know, I saw the Replacements and Sonic Youth and, you know, After College Steve Earle and Lucinda Williams and Pavement, all these people at the New Daisy, that was like the place for touring bands that weren't like, you know, theater arena bands. That was the place. And that dried up. Minglewood is there and they do shows, but it's not like, you know, hopping every night kind of thing. And so, you know, and the Orpheum can do shows. I mean, Arcade Fire's played the Orpheum. I saw, you know, Jason Isbell and John Prine, all kinds of stuff. And so, if with Live Nation behind it, maybe they will bring stuff to town and be willing to like lose money to get something going and get people used to going to shows, you know?
Right.
But I think if left strictly to, you know, or promoters doing things that they think are going to make them money, that's where Memphis has had the problem, because Memphis has never had a good reputation as a touring city. And for small club stuff, I think it's mostly been a demographics issue. And so I'm hopeful that this will change and that Live Nation will really make a point of bringing stuff here and trying to build a more of a live music audience than the city currently has. But I think the big issue has been a demographic issue.
Yeah, so if there's this is a 1,300-seat facility, venue, it's not like there isn't places that are like that. I mean, what did we just say, Jeffrey? The Orpheum is sort of roughly the same size, and
it's more Cannon Center.
So the significance of this really is Live Nation as much as anything else, right?
Yes, I think that's right. I think, you know, it'll be a new venue. It'll be a Midtown venue. You know, we always think, well, no one wants to go downtown. I feel like that's something people say because it's something people say, maybe more right. than a reality. I don't know. But because downtown's fine. But I think Midtown has a reputation of being like the live music more part of town. And so I think that's good. The Crosstown Association's good. I think the Live Nation, you know, Association's good. But over time, it's sort of like, you know, is there an audience there that wants right. to come see shows, right? And wants to pay to come see shows. And that gets into all kinds of questions about, you know, the size of the city, the demographics of the city, you know, the racial makeup of the city, the disposable income of the city. There's also a cultural aspect of Memphis doesn't really have, like, a radio scene or a college life scene that, like, you know, it's not – University of Memphis right. is more of a little bit more of a commuter school. There's no, like, college radio in Memphis. There's no – the sort of architecture that builds music scenes in cities.
Grassroots.
Yeah, is not as strong in Memphis. You have a strong, like, more underground, like, your whole Garner Records, Midtown kind of thing, but that's very small. And it's not like, you know, in the Twin Cities, like, you know, they're playing stuff on Radio K, which is the University of Minnesota college radio station. And, like, there's just, you know, I wonder about it as far as that goes.
Does Live Nation do shows in Memphis elsewhere at other places now?
They don't have an exclusive partnership anywhere right. like this. Are there shows that come through Memphis that are booked by Live Nation? Probably, but it hasn't really been my thing for a while.
Right. All right. On the NBA, I did want to talk to you about both the piece you did on Justin Timberlake and the film scene. We'll get to that. On the NBA, Grizzlies play the Bulls tomorrow night. I have not listened to your podcast with Drew yet, but will. The headline on the story that went out with it said, "Time for the Grizzlies to start winning," which seems like fine advice.
Yeah, I mean that's you're picking up more than maybe that headline's putting down. It's sort of a question that we got raised late in the pod about, because Taylor Jenkins teams have had a tendency to start kind of slow and then really take off sort of in December, January. And Drew was saying, you know, I think that's going to happen again. It's probably not the time now because Ja's not back, and I agree with that. But my counterpoint was, now is the time to stack wins. There's right. difference between like winning some games and being your best version of yourself.
Right.
I think the best version of the team is still off in the future, but I think the schedule is such that like this week is a good time. I mean, they've won, you know, two of the last three. It's time, you know, keep doing that the next week. You're at Chicago, and then you got four home games in a row against teams that you should be better than, even without John Morant.
There was over at ESPN a couple things of interest. There was a Q&A. Where they were talking about, well, this incredible imbalance between the East and the West and how frustrating it is
It feels like generations at this point.
Right, yeah. Right. There are four teams. They've gotten to now four teams over 500 yeah. in the East, but that's only a recent development.
Right.
And so they were discussing whether there's some cure for this, and expansion could be coming when there will be a fight about who to move. But as you pointed out, it seems like Minnesota would be the obvious team to move east, right? There, geographically.
Right, but that impacts the imbalance. I mean, I know it's not, right. you know, it's maybe we want Memphis to move, but it's also adding two expansion teams to the West.
Right, that's
and
true.
Shifting one good team. I do think that's...
That would help.
Yes.
But it was brought up, how about you just do away with it and do rank 1 to 16.
So I have mixed feelings about all this. There have been other plans out there. Like this writer, Tom Ziller, threw out a plan like 10, 15 years ago that I thought was great. And then, you know, didn't pick up any traction. You could probably search around the internet. But his thing about it was, instead of two conferences, it was still geographic divisions. It was,
right.
But instead of six, it was five. And then within your division, you had smaller clusters where you played more frequently. My thing is, I'm okay with getting rid of the idea of the East-West Conference. But I still think there should be some level of geographic organization, and I think that geographic organization should impact your regular season schedule, both for a rivalry standpoint and for a reducing travel standpoint. Like I think Memphis should play like New Orleans and Atlanta. Now they don't because Atlanta's in a different conference.
Right.
But in an ideal situation, they should play New Orleans and Atlanta more than they play Portland. You know, I think that makes sense in terms of the way your season flows. But I'm okay with once you get to the playoffs having a structure that it's not two separate conferences that filter into one playoff series of one representative from each conference. I would be open to breaking that up.
It was Windhorst who brought it up, and Bontemps said, good luck getting Eastern executives to vote for it.
Right.
It would be voting against their own self-interest.
That's
so
right.
That's we can problem. Talk about it all we want. But,
yeah.
But
the league can't impose stuff. It's 30. The NBA is made up of 30 different franchises that all have equal ownership of the league. And so the league is the owners.
And then separately, it wouldn't be sports talk if we didn't do some rankings here.
Let's do it.
They did a rankings of the top three. What team's big three are the best?
Okay, this is interesting because this dovetails with a little research I did last night that I'm probably going to write about and that I was going to share with you. But you go ahead.
So the two that were championship caliber, Celtics, Tatum Brown and Derek White, and
been there, done that.
Oklahoma City, Shea, Jalen Williams, and Chet Holmgren. Different when that one has done it, one is not. But they had them at a level. Then they had the best player on the planet division, which
is this ESPN?
It's ESPN.
Okay.
And it's skewed because they got the best player on the planet. It's sometimes you're looking for other players, like is Derek Lively really part of the big three? But it's Luka, Kyrie, Derek Lively, it's Jokic, Murray,
right,
and Aaron Gordon, and it's Giannis, Lillard, and Brooke Lopez. And it's Embiid, Paul George, and Maxey.
That Denver core has also won a title very recently.
That's true.
You know?
And those are all very different cores at this point. The right. Philadelphia core is collapsing. But anyway, then there was that category. There was also a separate lower category called Legend, which is basically the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Suns.
Right.
But the Grizzlies were ninth. So they were behind.
That's respectable.
They were behind the first two.
Yep.
And then they were behind the best player on the planet. That's four more. That gets you to seven. Then they were in a category with the Knicks, the Cavs, and Minnesota. And they were behind the Knicks, Brunson, OG, and Cat. They were behind Cleveland, Mitchell, Mobley, and Garland. And they were ahead of Edwards, McDaniels, and Gobert. They were ninth.
I think that's pretty fair. That's maybe better than I expected because there's been so much out of sight, out of mind with the Grizzlies. I think the fact that they're behind those teams is a reflection of current and recent performance, right? They're behind those teams generally in the standings right now, or
right.
Not that. With Cleveland, it's that. But with the other teams, it's what happened last season. Knicks made a playoff run. Minnesota made a playoff run, right? So Cleveland's off to this great start. Minnesota and the Knicks are coming off these playoff seasons. Well, the reason the Grizzlies don't have either of those two things is mostly because the players haven't been on the floor together enough. And that is what I did a little bit of research about. And so I was looking at this last night, and I'll probably update this and write about it in some component of what I do next week. I was looking at total games missed so far this season among teams' top threes, right? Oh. And there's a level of subjectivity to talk what's the top
what's
three
the top
of the team.
Three?
But, I mean, ESPN's doing this too. If you said Aaron Gordon, that's also who I included as the top three. There are four teams this season whose top threes have missed more games than Memphis, and one who's missed as much. The ones who've missed more are Toronto, which is a mess. Mm-hmm. New Orleans is a mess. Philly is a mess. Milwaukee, and I'm including Middleton, even though I think that's probably wrong just to not put a thumb on the scale. Middleton with Milwaukee has been a mess. And then the one tied with Memphis is the Clippers, and that's all Kawhi Leonard, right?
Right.
So that's 17 missed games among their top three players. Go to the other end of the scale. With Minnesota, the number is zero. With the Lakers, it's one. With Rockets, it's one. With Dallas, it's two. That's about to grow a little bit because Luka's about to miss some games. Golden State, it's three. You know, Sacramento, it's five. Oklahoma City, it's six. That'll grow a little bit as Chet Holmgren remains out. But if you look at the standings, and particularly look at the difference between, and if you were to go in the middle, like Phoenix is 14 now because Durant and Beal out, right? Denver's 12.
Grizzlies number is 17?
17. Yeah. Denver's 12 because Gordon's missed games. So let's not even make it just about Memphis. Look at Memphis, Phoenix, Denver all have 12 or more missed games among their top three players. And look at Minnesota, Lakers, Rockets, particularly Lakers, Rockets, who have like one or zero, right? If you look at the standings and you see like the Lakers and Rockets are off this great start, and like, you know, Minnesota, or not Minnesota, but Memphis and Phoenix and Denver, they're behind those teams. The Pelicans team's like two games.
Right.
And look at the difference in like how many games the best players have played. And that's why I'm still optimistic about, you know, what the Grizzlies are going to be this season if they actually get those guys on the floor. And we'll see. They got two out of three right now, and Ja seems not that far away.
Sometimes, of course, the top three, just take Philadelphia's. Like, okay, you can say, well, the problem here is their top three have missed games. But we knew they would.
Right.
Like, you know, so, and is there something
this
about...
is why I was reticent to include Middleton. Dude had surgery on both ankles. Right. I don't think he's no longer what he was. You
Do
know?
You have to downgrade, though, given that...
This is a question about the Grizzlies.
Yeah, that you have said... Well, you have said...
The Grizzlies
challenge is durability, yes. And so they have a history of it's not just fluky, they're unlucky.
They are not in the category of Kawhi Leonard or Joel Embiid.
Right.
But there is a history with Ja and with Jared, I think he's sort of gotten past it. He's been really durable the last couple of years. But with Ja and Dez in particular, there's a accumulated history now of durability questions. And now we've seen, you know, again, Ja was a freak injury, but that's the kind of freak injury he gets because he's a freak.
Because he's a freak, right.
You know, like, right. And so that's sort of part of the mix. And so, yeah, no, so there's this durability question, but I don't think from based on what I've seen, and let's knock on whatever we can knock on about Ja, they are not, there's a question about injuries they may get going forward. That's not a question about how injuries have diminished them when they play.
Right.
And that is a question you can apply to some of these other guys.
Right. It's interesting, just in terms of this ranking, I'm fine with the ranking. It seems fair. If you had a team in, you know, whatever, Bismarck, North Dakota, or South Dakota, where's Bismarck? North Dakota. And you could pick one of these three trios to start your franchise, wouldn't you rather have Ja, Bain, and Jaren? Let's just the other ones that are in this group. Brunson, OG, and Cat, Mitchell, Mobley, and Garland, Edwards, McDaniels, Gobert.
Gobert, you worry, is now turning the corner, and you look at the magnitude of his contract and his age. You worry about, you know, winning with Cat a little bit.
You might take Cleveland first.
You might take Cleveland, especially looking at Cleveland, they're 16-1
right now. Yes.
That's what Jared Allen. The Cleveland thing is interesting to me because... Like I wrote a column earlier this season comparing Memphis to Golden State in terms of approach to the season.
Right.
To me, the comparable team, and this is not new, but I'll bring it back. The comparable team in terms of roster construction is Cleveland. Donovan Mitchell, you know, the small backcourt where they can both handle and both go off for points. Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane. That's a toss up.
Right.
The power forward who can play all over the floor on both ends of the floor. Jaren Jackson Jr., Evan Mobley, very comparable. Jared Allen is I think he made one All-Star game, but he's not quite an All-Star, really. He's but a really good starting center. How quickly can Zach Edey, can he become Jared Allen, and how quickly can he become a Jared Allen-level player? And then you got, like, you know, a good coach and decent supporting cast. The Grizzlies might even have a better supporting cast. Well, why are the Grizzlies 9-7 and the Cavs 16-1? 16-1 thing's a little over. They're not going to keep winning that level, but it's because of health, right?
Right.
It's because Cleveland, and I just did the West teams, but Cleveland is at three missed games among their top three players. You know, that's the difference.
All right, on to other matters. I didn't talk about this earlier in the week, but your film review of what's happening in film was up a couple days ago. People can read it over at the Daily Memphian. I've tweeted it out. And we got Glickid. I didn't realize.
I didn't know that was a thing.
That was
either.
A thing until I read it in the early word. But we have Gladiator 2.
I don't think this is going to be an Oppenheimer or Barbie level event.
Gladiator will be pretty well.
I think so. I saw it yesterday.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. It's better if you don't think about it too much. And I think like most people won't be thinking about it that much.
Right.
At some point, it works like scene by scene, and it's like a pretty good watch. And then at some point, you're like, why are we even doing this? And why, you know, it's very much like it's so hyper aware of like the former movie and wanting to evoke the former movie. And it's basically a remake of the former movie. And like, there's some level of like Russell Crowe in the first movie A, the character he was playing was like the successful general, and B, he was Russell Crowe in 2002 or whatever, so he was a really buff. He was believable, right? And Paul Mescal is like smaller than Russell Crowe, and also the character he is playing is like just like he's not like a major general, and suddenly he's like, you know, the master gladiator who's beating everyone in front of him, and like, why are we believing this? You know, there's some of that to it, but it works okay.
Did you love the original? Would you like the original? Why did you love the original?
You know, I rewatched it about a year ago, and I liked it better when I rewatched it than I did initially. There's something about it movie when I saw it the first time that bothered me. There was something about the way the violence was shot and the tone of the movie that I felt like it was sort of sanctimonious, but also sort of it was almost turning the film audience into the people in the arena wanting to watch the gore a little bit. And that rubbed me the wrong way. But when I rewatched it, I didn't feel quite that way anymore.
Was it packed?
No, but I went to a matinee
on a Thursday.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, you've seen that, and will you see Wicked? Have you seen the
No, I've never. I haven't read the book. I haven't seen the Broadway thing. So I no. I'll see Wicked because I need to see Wicked.
Right.
But if I were like just someone who didn't have any kind of like professional or interest in like movie, you know, right. If I was just a general viewer, I probably would not go see Wicked.
You are not a musical guy, or are you not?
I am not. This is interesting. IndieWire, this film website, did a list this week on the 100 greatest movie musicals. I am not, and there are movies on that list that I absolutely love. Meet Me in St. Louis is my favorite musical. Mm-hmm. Singing in the Rain, I think, is one of the great American films. There's this Mike Lee movie I didn't even think of as a musical they put on the list called Topsy Turvy that I really love, which is sort of a biopic kind of thing about Gilbert and Sullivan. But I am not I am resistant to movie adaptations of Broadway musicals. I don't like the stagey feel, the like jazz finger, let's put on a show kind of feel of like the Broadway stuff put into movies. That is what I tend to be resistant to. Movie musicals that are conceived as movies first, I think for me tend to work like Singing in the Rain, which is not like based on some stage production or whatever. I think seem to work a little bit better for me.
I did appreciate the history in your piece, though. I didn't realize that first there was a Wizard of Oz novel in 1900. Then there was the Wizard of Oz movie in 1939. Then there was the Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West novel in 1995. Then there was the theater version.
Yeah.
Then there was the movie.
There's all kinds of other stuff in between, you know, whether it's The Wiz or like there's been other like Oz movies recently or whatever. There's a whole like expanded universe, but as far as I know, Frank Baum just wrote the book, and then they made the movie in 1939. And obviously, the 1939 movie Wizard of Oz is like a signature bit of American culture.
Right.
It's one of the more inescapable things in the whole culture period. There's actually my daughter goes to school at DePaul in Lincoln Park in Chicago, and there's a park, not Lincoln Park, but a different park in the neighborhood that's Oz Park.
Really?
And like it's statues of all the characters all around the park. Yeah.
It is being well reviewed?
There was some early good word of mouth. The reviews seem a little bit more mixed since they've started coming out. Reviews have started coming out since I wrote that.
I see. Okay. And then you've written about these previously, A Real Pain and Conclave, which you have had earlier written about, but I don't know if you'd seen them at this point.
When I wrote about them the first time, I hadn't had a chance to see them yet.
And now you've seen them both and you like them both.
Yeah, those are good movies. Those are good movies. People, you know, especially like for grown-ups, you want to see a grown-up movie that's not as noisy and it's just like, you know, a smart, entertaining movie where like human beings are talking to each other. Like those are very different kind of movies in that regard, but they're both movies in that regard. And both, I think, you know, people would like.
And Conclave is sort of a...
Conclave is sort of, it's not really a thriller so much. It's like a behind the scenes intrigue kind of thing. And it's, the Pope dies and there's a conclave of, you know, cardinals at Vatican City and they have to choose the new Pope. So it's behind the scenes drama.
But it's intrigue.
The intrigue and the machinations.
How is this not Angels and Demons?
I used to listen to you talk to Chris Vernon about movies. And so my question is would Chris Vernon like it?
Chris Vernon then would not like it. Chris Vernon now, you know, he's matured. He might be into it a little bit more.
All right. And then you've written about your Essential Memphis Library has another entry. It is Justin Timberlake's Justified.
His solo debut album.
His solo debut album.
2002, I think.
And you start by writing about Elvis and Justin Timberlake. How are they alike and different? Or how are their
Justin Timberlake, between his first and second solo albums, was arguably the biggest pop star in the world. he didn't reach like Taylor Swift now magnitude, but right. he was at the moment like maybe the biggest pop star in the world. And that was the first and probably last time Memphis could claim the biggest pop star in the world. And Justified, that solo album, the very beginning of that album, before you ever hear Justin Timberlake's voice, it's Pharrell Williams, the producer, says, you know, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to my friend from Memphis, Tennessee, Justin. And so he's introduced us from right. Memphis, Tennessee at the start of this album. And so, I mean, the differences are interesting in that, you know, Elvis came to Memphis as a child and then cut his first records in local studios. Justin Timberlake is from here and then left as a child to go to Orlando to start his music career.
Right.
Elvis's music, I mean, they're both products of their times. Like, Elvis's music synthesized local regional sounds. There was all these tributaries coming into Memphis, right? Blues and gospel and country and all this that he was absorbing, as many other people were, and sort of he synthesized in his music. Justin Timberlake's music is placeless. It is modern chart pop that does not, right. it's not, there's no connection to the soil of any place anywhere in the world. It's like this thing that exists right. beyond place, right? Which is not a criticism, it's just what it is, right? It's almost a creature of the internet more than right. like real life. And so they're different in that way. I mean, Elvis lived in Memphis until he died, and Justin Timberlake's never lived in Memphis as an adult. But I do think Timberlake has consistently, and I get into a lot of this, there's a long list of ways he has gone out of his way to connect himself to right. Memphis over the years and up to this day.
And it's so funny because there can be some little snarky resentment, whether anyone really cares where he lives, I don't know. But as you point out, he consistently, I mean, it's a long history
yeah.
of ways he is connecting himself to Memphis all the time. This album, you liked it?
That album's great. If you're at all open to that music, or there at the time there was a resistance to it because he had been in this boy band NSYNC and, like, you know, too cool for that. But like right. the Neptunes and Timbaland, the two producers he worked with, to me the musical comp is more Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson working with Quincy Jones, Justin Timberlake working with the Neptunes and Timbaland at the top of their game. Those guys were like, could do no wrong in 2002.
Right.
And so a lot of the tracks and songs they put together with him are just great and still great to this day. And I do think he brings a vocal personality to it. And there is sort of an underlying story that comes out of the Disney show boy band teen pop star coming into his own as an adult, and that sort of gives the album a little bit of concept, a little bit of more substance, you know.
You can read that piece over at the Daily Memphian. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian. Chris walked in and asked if I was going somewhere, and that's because I'm decked out in my sport coat from Oak Hall, my slacks from Oak Hall. When I have to look good, I go to Oak Hall. And when you want to look good, you should go to Oak Hall too. And by the way, no better season than right now, because it's getting to be that time. And amidst all the online shopping, the frantic jammed stores, wherever, Oak Hall is just a pleasure. It's just a pleasure. And I actually compare it to online shopping. You're on your own, man. You're online shopping, you're on your own. Chances are you're going to have to put it in a box and send it back. At Oak Hall, you've got deeply experienced people who live in the community, have been working at all for years, and they will not steer you wrong. Plus, the wrapping, when they bring the college kids in from wherever they've been to do the wrapping, it's a joyous Santa machine over there at Oak Hall. So beat the rush. Get in there this weekend. I got a card from them the other day. I got a Christmas card with a little card that said 20% off my first item. You can bet I will be taking advantage of that. Tis the season at Oak Hall. Jeffrey's Bets, when we return, we got college football to talk about. 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you just see the breaking news here about Daniel Jones?
Indeed, the Giants have released Daniel Jones.
Don Daniels have released Daniel Jones. We'll talk about that. In a bit, we knew that it was over. Before I have Jeffrey make you money, I'm going to tell you where you should put your money once Jeffrey makes the money, and that is Leaders Credit Union. And we put our money where our mouth is here at the Calkins family. We open an account over at Leaders Credit Union. When you say as often as I have that Leaders exists for the benefit of its members, as a credit union, there's no stockholders to make happy. There's no corporate overlords. Every penny gets plowed back in to the better technology, better services, better rates. When you say that as often as I do and have, it starts to sink in. And so when Claire was moving here, I'm thinking, well, she wants to open up a new account. Where? Leaders Credit Union. And so she went to the branch in Bartlett, opened up an account. There's a branch in Arlington as well, brand new. But you can just download the app, fabulous technology, and do that. And I think you'll discover what we've discovered. And whether it's a new mortgage you need, or whether it's an auto loan, or whether you're just fed up with your financial institution, or whether you're starting something your kids are deciding where they're going to bank. Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN. All right, Jeffrey, it is time. It is time to talk college football.
Jeff, we're not here to talk about the past. We're here to talk about this weekend.
We are here to talk about this weekend.
Yes, absolutely.
Clearly. 100%.
Jeff, let's start in Gainesville.
Okay. It's a big one.
Trey Harris is returning. Ole Miss is kind of in flexing spot. I'm going to lay the 11.5. I think Florida knew they needed to get one of the two games between LSU and Ole Miss. They get the game yesterday.
And they get bowl eligible against Florida State.
That's what it all boils down to. Lagway was clearly hampered. I don't think that's the great formula. I like the Rebels here pretty comfortably.
Ole Miss minus 11.5 over the resurgent Gators.
Jeff, our theme of today, is that Cinderella over there? Is that? That's right, Jeff. It's time for Cinderella to die this week. Give me Ohio State. I'll lay 10.5.
This is a miserable theme. This is a cruel, terrible theme. Ohio State minus 10.5 over plucky undefeated Indiana. All right.
Jeff, this is a principle play. As longtime listeners will know, I've never had any respect for Phil Longo as an offensive coordinator.
No.
This is a principle play. Wisconsin fires Phil Longo.
Yeah.
I have to take the Badgers this week. Give me Wisconsin plus 1.5 against Nebraska.
Wisconsin, there's two teams trying to get bowl eligible. Wisconsin. Both, by the way, you got coaches who've kind of, like, how's it going for them?
Well,
right?
There's also
and
the
they both
Nebraska,
fired their OCs.
And Nebraska trying to get bowl eligible has been the ultimate hill to climb. Correct.
It's been a journey, and it's been an unsuccessful journey.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin plus 1.5 over those poor Huskers. Next.
Jeff, this is our why not game of the week. Minnesota at home, hosting Penn State, getting 11.5. Why not? Give me the 11.5.
Minnesota plus 11.5. How does that fit within the theme, Jeffrey? I don't think it does. Penn State. You just don't have much regard for
correct.
Penn State.
Jeff, this is our Sophie's Choice game of the week. Arizona State, been very good to
us.
BYU, equally been good to us. Arizona State, 8-2 against the number this year. BYU, 7-3.
Oh.
But more importantly, Jeff, Arizona State, they got that new ranking smell, Jeff. You see that? They got put into the rankings this week. It's new. BYU is an underdog this year. 4-0 straight up, 4-0 against the spread, clearly. I'll take the 3. Give me BYU.
BYU plus 3 over red-hot Arizona State. Kenny, go ahead. Next.
Jeff, I feel like I've had a pretty good read on Mississippi State the past few weeks. I think there's a clear formula. Is Mississippi State getting 3 touchdowns? If they are, take them. Take those points. Mississippi State is not getting 3 touchdowns this week against Missouri. Give me Missouri. I'll lay the 8.
Missouri minus 8. Missouri's dreams have died. You're not worried about that?
You know what doesn't matter? Mississippi State's defense.
Missouri minus 8 over Mississippi State. Next.
Jeff, we got an SEC team taking on a CUSA team after a loss. Principal play. We'll lay the 22 with Arkansas.
Arkansas minus 22.
Over La Tech.
La Tech. All right. Next.
Jeff, let me read you a few things that have happened this year to the Beavers. Once, of course, a staple of our gambling.
Mm-hmm.
28-0 to Air Force. 24-13, San Jose State. 44-7 to Cal. 33-25 loss to UNLV. 42-37 to Nevada. They have not covered a line.
Eesh.
Since the first week of October.
Eesh.
Washington State coming off a disheartening loss last week. I'll lay the 11.5. I got the Beavers on quit watch.
Washington State minus what? 11.5?
11.5.
11.5 or Oregon State. Next.
Jeff.
Beaver's a good name, though.
It is great. Great. Yeah. Jeff, would you say Army qualifies as a Cinderella?
Army's absolute Cinderella with Army boots. Oh, no. Oh.
Die, Cinderella, die.
Oh, no.
Lay the 14 with Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. We may be playing the second best fight song in the land on Monday. Notre Dame minus 14 over the boys, over Army, over America. That's tough. Go ahead.
Jeff, we got Diego getting points on the road. We got a mobile quarterback against LSU. Give me the 7.5. I'll take it.
Vandy plus 7.5. LSU's like, how do we stop these guys running around back there?
Mm-hmm.
It's preposterous. How does anyone stop them? Stay still.
Or maybe, I don't know, don't rush past
Vandy
the quarterback.
Vandy plus 7.5 over LSU.
Jeff, do you know what Stinkin' Riley's record as a road favorite is at USC?
No, what?
That would be 2-9 against the spread. This year, 0-4 straight up and against the spread, clearly. UCLA, give me 4.5.
UCLA, that's a school in LA, plus 4.5 over USC. Well, I hear music.
Jeff, we got a game of the year, baby.
Really? Didn't expect that.
I know everyone on the planet is looking at that Auburn-Texas A&M line and going, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
I know that Mike Elko said he's focused solely on Texas, not Auburn this week. I mean Auburn. We got a principal play. Texas A&M, lay the 2, game of the year.
Texas A&M over Auburn.
It's Peyton Thorne.
What's the
versus
line?
That defense? It's only minus two.
And that can only be because people assume a look ahead?
Look ahead spot. Also, Auburn is one of those teams that doesn't play up to its potential. With that said, that's what we're betting on. It's Peyton Thorne versus that defense.
Minus two.
Correct.
Over Auburn. And does that wrap up the card?
Thus concludes our card for week 13.
All right, so that's Ole Miss minus 11.5 over Florida, Ohio State minus 10.5 over Indiana, Wisconsin plus 1.5 over Nebraska, Minnesota plus 11.5 over Penn State, BYU plus 3 over Arizona State, Missouri minus 8 over Mississippi State, Arkansas minus 22 over La Tech, Washington State minus 11.5 over Oregon State, Notre Dame minus 14 over Army, Vandy plus 7.5 over LSU, UCLA plus 4.5 over USC, Texas A&M minus 2 over Auburn. Who do we miss? How about Colorado?
That line screams take Kansas.
What's the line?
But it's 3 right now, or maybe it's 2.5. I think it's 2.5. That line screams Kansas, but Colorado just covers. They're just an absolute machine. But I'm done with Colorado games.
Okay, and then the other college football development that we have not talked about is there's been some recruiting news, Jeffrey.
Bryce Underwood.
There is some recruiting news as Bryce Underwood, hometown hero or whatever he called himself. He flips from LSU to Michigan, rumored price $12 million. Is that the rumored price?
That checks out. I think they're all like NFL contracts.
You mean?
They're always inflated.
Inflated.
I know this. He's going to be well compensated.
Bryce
there are
Underwood.
Recruiting experts that use the words Cam Newton
right
around him.
Said it's a blow for LSU.
It is a blow. I guess my whole thing is he on campus yet?
Right. Okay, and then Julian Lewis, secondary, the top two rated quarterbacks in the country this year. Bryce Underwood flips, and Julian Lewis flips.
After flipping originally.
Flips, right, exactly. Flips from USC to Colorado. Now, let's see what Deion does, right? That one is...
Yes.
Just because of the head coach at Michigan will remain the head coach. The head coach at Colorado may or may not remain the head coach, right?
Right.
So to me, that one's more iffy. It's funny. I saw someone complaining about the $12 million where this is what ruining. It's not the money that's at all. No one cares.
Like I definitely.
No one cares that they're making money. What they care is that they only stay somewhere for a year. Right.
If, right.
They care about that. Nobody cares that they're making money. I don't know. Does it? I don't think it bothers me at all.
No, I don't. I do
it
not
bother me that Seth Hennigan's making money. He's making money. We just talk about his loyalty, but he's making money.
Correct.
All right. If you want to wager on this stuff, you can do it over at FanDuel, of course. And if you win on your first $5 bet over at FanDuel, you get $150 in bonus bets plunked into your account. We got a full weekend of NFL ahead of us, including the Harbaugh, Chargers, Ravens. If you like that one, you can wager on that. You can put together a same game parlay or pop on over to FanDuel and see what same game parlays are pre-constructed for you. And grab one of those or tweak one of those. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to make every moment more this season. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Got to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's see. Other things we did not get to. We had MVPs, Otani and Judge. We haven't mentioned that.
No way.
Yeah, shocking. Daniel Jones, this happened just this morning.
Correct.
Released.
So he's going to be released. No one will pick him up on waivers. That does mean that he's free to sign.
At that point, it would be free to sign with someone.
Correct. So if somebody needs...
Speculation as to where he might land? Is there early speculation as to where he might land?
I would presume he's going to hold out and see if like there's...
A job.
Yeah.
See what happens. And then we had the NFL has flexed. We had
indeed,
first,
Jeff. We have
first
our first
time
ever Thursday night flex.
They flex a game into Thursday night.
Correct. And they flex the Thursday night game back to Sunday. And our first ever Thursday night flex will come on week 16. The Los Angeles Chargers and Denver Broncos has been moved from December 22nd to December 19th. And that means that the Bengals and Browns has been moved off of Thursday night football. I'm sure this is all for Al Michaels.
the you would like them to flex the Monday night Cowboys Bengals
and the Thanksgiving game.
Right. They can't flex the Cowboys Bengals game, which is a Monday night game, because it's the Simpsons. There's a
too
Simpsons
much work's
telecast.
Already been done.
Too much work has already been done, so we're stuck with that one. Anyway, I hope you all have a great weekend. What's coming up next?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Anthony Sain, Adam Chernoff will join them today. Blake Topmeyer joins us on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Gabe also will be live
today.
He'll
be on the show. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He'll be doing his show. Absolutely.
You're supposed to have Cobb. Cobb. Everybody congratulate Cobb. They just had their baby.
Yeah, have a great weekend. Our work's done.